the content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there. This is Janice Peary from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today is There's a Dragon in Your Book by Tom Fletcher. Oh, look, there's an egg in your book. It looks ready to hatch. Whatever you do, don't turn the page. I can't believe you did that. The egg has hatched, and now there's a dragon in your book. Don't be scared. It's a baby dragon. Go ahead. Tickle her little nose. Achoo! The baby dragon sneezed a great big sneeze. Oops. The dragon accidentally sneezed a fire in your book. Uh-oh. We need to put it out quickly. Help the dragon blow out the flame. And then turn the page. Uh-oh. Oh, no, your dragon didn't blow out the fire. She blew more fire. Well, now carefully cover the flames by turning the page and then tamping it down. That should put the flames right out. So here we go. It didn't work. Those flames are getting bigger and bigger. Don't get too close. If only we could think of a way to put out this fire. Uh-oh. That's it. Let's use your imagination to put out the fire. Imagine. Just imagine a great big balloon right in the middle of the next page. That balloon is filled with water. Make sure it's ready to pop. Perfect. Now use your finger to pop the balloon. Pop. And get ready for the splash. There goes the little dragon on top of a great big wave. Hooray, you put out the fire. Let's give that dragon a high five. And give a high five to anyone who's in the room with you. And if no one's in the room with you, give yourself a high five. And that's what I'm going to do right now. High five. You have a great imagination. And that little dragon must be very hungry by now. Now, why don't you use your imagination again? And think up a yummy treat for her. How about a triple scoop of yummy, ice-cold chocolate and strawberry ice cream with sprinkles on top? Wow, doesn't that look delicious? I would love to have that one of those myself right now. Wouldn't you? Yum. Well, that dragon must be tired after all that adventure. So, I think it's ready for her to fly home. She's probably very, very full. She's going to need some help taking off. Flap the book upside down like giant dragon wings. So here we go. I'm going to flap this book upside down. Almost there. Keep flapping. And there she goes. Goodbye, dragon. Wave goodbye. And turn the... Hang on a second. What's this? Oh, look. More eggs. And the little dragon has landed on a great big pile of dragon eggs. Whatever you do, don't turn the page. I'm going to turn it anyways. Uh-oh, I think it's time to carefully close this book. Very, very carefully. There, all sorts of little dragons are starting to poke out of their eggs. And there's a bunch of those eggs on this end of this page. So I think I will very carefully close this book so it's not open anymore. And that's the end of that one. Our next book is Going to the Firehouse by Mercer Mayer. And here we go. Today, my class is going to the firehouse. I dress like a fireman. Time to fight a fire. And there's the whole class in front of the firehouse. This is Fireman Joe. And this is his dog, Sparky. Sparky is a fire dog. He's a little cute white dog with black spots. He is a Dalmatian dog. Fireman Joe has boots. He has a jacket. He has a helmet, and his jacket and helmet are both yellow. His helmet has his number on, and Fireman Joe's number is 23. I have boots on, but they're not like big boots like Fireman Joe. I have a jacket, but it's only red with some yellow stripes on it. But I do not have a helmet like Fireman Joe. Joe slides down the pole. Sparky howls because that is what he does when there is a fire. We see a big fire truck. It is huge. It is red and it has hoses and a ladder. Joe checks the hoses and he lets me help. Whoosh goes the water. That hose is working just fine. Joe checks the ladder and he goes up and up. He is in the sky. Hello, Fireman Joe. Joe checks the siren. It goes, woo-wee-woo. The fire siren is very, very loud, and I cover my ears. And Sparky howls some more. He doesn't like that sound. Joe tells us about fires. He tells us that smoke goes up. When smoke goes up, we must lie on the floor. Fireman Joe tells us what to do if we are on fire. Stop, drop, and roll. So I stop, I drop, and I roll to practice what to do if I get caught on fire someday. Fireman Joe smiles. He has a surprise. He reaches into his truck. Helmets for everyone. I put on my helmet. Joe tells me I will be a good fireman one day. And there's Sparky licking his face. Ding, ding goes the fire alarm. I wave goodbye to Fireman Joe. I wave goodbye to Sparky. The class waves goodbye to Fireman Joe, and they wave goodbye to Sparky, too. Sparky is going along to in the fire truck. Time to fight a fire. Fireman Joe is ready to go. And of course, Sparky is too. The next story is Alexander and the Terrible No Good. Very Bad Day. This is written by Judith Viorst. I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair, and when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running. And I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At breakfast, Anthony found a Corvette Stingray car kit in his breakfast cereal box, and Nick found a junior of undercover agent code ring in his cereal box. But in my cereal box, all I got was cereal. I think I'll move to Australia. In the carpool, Mrs. Gibson let Becky have a seat by the window. Audrey and Elliot got seats by the window, too. I said I was being scrunched. I said I was being smushed. I said, if I don't get a seat by the window, I am going to be carsick. And no one even answered. I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At school, Mrs. Dickens liked Paul's picture of the sailboat better than my picture of the invisible castle. At singing time, she said I sang too loud. At counting time, she said I left out 16. Who needs 16? I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. I could tell because Paul said I wasn't his best friend anymore. He said that Philip Parker was his best friend and that Albert Moyo was his next best friend and that I was only his third best friend. I hope you sit on a tack, I said to Paul. I hope the next time you get a double ice decker ice cream strawberry ice cream cone, the cream ice cream part falls off the cone and lands in Australia. There were two cupcakes in Philip Parker's lunch bag, and Albert got a Hershey bar with almonds, and Paul's mother gave him a piece of jelly roll that had little coconut sprinkles on the top. Guess whose mother forgot to put lunch in his lunch box? The best part, the dessert. No dessert for me. It was definitely a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. That's what it was, because after school my mom took us all to the dentist, and Dr. Fields found a cavity just in me. Come back next week and I'll fix it, said Dr. Fields. Next week, I said, I'm going to Australia. On the way downstairs, the elevator door closed on my foot, and while we were waiting for my mom to go to get the car, Anthony made me fall where it was muddy, and then when I started crying because of the mud, Nick said I was a crybaby, and while I was punching Nick for saying crybaby, my mom came back with the car and scolded me for being muddy and for fighting. I am having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, I told everyone. And no one even answered. So then we went to the shoe store to buy some sneakers. Anthony chose white ones with blue stripes. Nick chose red ones with white stripes. I chose blue ones with red stripes. But then the shoe man said, "We're all sold out. They made me buy plain old white ones, but they can't make me wear them." When we picked up my dad at his office, he said I could not play with his copying machine, but I forgot. He also said to watch out for the books on his desk, and I was careful as could be, except for my elbow. He also said, "Don't fool around with my phone," but I think I called Australia. My dad said to my mom, "Please don't pick him up anymore." It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And there were lima beans for supper, and I hate limas. There was kissing on TV, and I hate kissing. Ew. My bath was too hot. I got soap in my eyes. My marble went down the drain, and I hate to wear my railroad train pajamas. I hate my railroad train pajamas. When I went to bed, Nick took back the pillow he said that I could keep, and the Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out, and I bit my tongue. The cat wants to sleep with Anthony, not with me. It has been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. My mom says, Alexander, some days are like that, even in Australia. And that is the end of Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Our next story is one of my favorites, and it is called Guess How Much I Love You, written by Sam McBratney. Little Nut Brown Hare, who was going to bed, held on tight to Big Nut Brown Hare's very long ears. He wanted to be sure that Big Nut Brown Hare was listening. Guess how much I love you, he said. Oh, I don't think I could guess that, said Big Nut Brown Hare. This much, said Little Nut Brown Hare, stretching out his arms as wide as they could go. Big Nut Brown Hare had even longer arms. But I love you this much, he said. That is a lot, thought Little Nut Brown Hare. I love you as high as I can reach, said Little Nut Brown Hare. I love you as high as I can reach, said Big Nut Brown Hare. That is very, very high, thought Little Nut Brown Hare. I wish I had arms like that. Then Little Nut Brown Hare had a good idea. He tumbled upside down and reached up the tree trunk with his feet. I love you all the way up to my toes, he said. And I love you all the way up to your toes, Big Nut Brown Hare said as he swung Little Nut Brown Hare all around and up over his head. I love you as high as I can hop, laughed Little Nut Brown Hare, and there he goes, hopping and bouncing up and down, all around. But I love you as high as I can hop, smiled Big Nut Brown Hare, and he hopped so high that his ears touched the branch above. Now that's very good hopping, thought Little Nut Brown Hare. I wish I could hop like that. I love you all the way down the lane as far as the river, cried Little Nut Brown Hare. I love you across the river and over the hills, said Big Nut Brown Hare. That's very far, thought Little Nut Brown Hare, but he was almost too sleepy to think any more. Then he looked beyond the thorn bushes out into the big, dark night. Nothing could be farther than the sky. I love you right up to the moon, he said, and closed his eyes. Oh, that's far, said Big Nut Brown Hare. That is very, very far. Big Nut Brown Hare settled Little Nut Brown Hare into his bed of leaves. He leaned over and kissed him good night. Then he lay down by his little son and whispered with a smile, I love you right up to the moon and back. And that's the end of a very beautiful story. Our next story is The Princess and the Pea. Once upon a time, there was a prince who wanted more than anything to fall in love and get married. But though he met one princess after another, there was always something that was not quite right. They just aren't real princesses, he said. They aren't real princesses at all. What is a real princess? Asked his father, the king. Her hair will shine, her nose will be regal, but the princess part will be in her eyes. They will sparkle, said the prince. And fine, a princess will be fine, added his mother, who had once been a princess herself. Now one evening, a wild storm broke over the kingdom. Suddenly, there was a knock at the palace door. Outside stood a girl, soaking wet from head to toe. "Who are you?" asked the king. "I am Princess Adriana, and I got separated from my companions in the storm," she said. The prince came running. It was hard to see if she was a real princess. Her nose looked regal, but water dripped from the tip of it. And her eyes... The prince could hardly see her eyes behind her mop of wet hair. Now the queen knew that a true princess would be very, very delicate, and she thought of a way to test the girl's claims. She gathered up all the mattresses and all the quilts from all the beds in the palace, and she stacked them up. Then she secretly tucked a tiny pea under the bottom mattress and bid the girl good night. When the girl came downstairs in the morning, she was a lovely sight to see. Her hair flowed long and wavy, washed clean from the rain. Her nose was just as regal as could be. And when she looked up, "Your eyes, they are so sparkly," exclaimed the prince. "But you are yawning," said the queen. "Didn't you sleep well, my dear?" "You were wonderful to take me in, and I don't like to complain," said the girl. "But I did not sleep a wink. There was a lump in my bed, and I am afraid it kept me awake all night long." "Aha!" cried the queen. "You are a real princess. Only a real princess could be fine enough to feel a pee through 20 mattresses." The prince quickly fell in love with the princess. In time, they got married, and the prince started making the bed every day, careful to smooth out any lumps or wrinkles so that his dear princess would enjoy a good night's sleep. And that's the end of The Princess and the Pea. Our next story is Rapunzel. One day, a witch stole a little baby girl from her parents. The witch named the girl Rapunzel and locked her in a tall tower deep in the woods. The tower had no door, no stairs, and only a small window at the very, very top. Rapunzel lived alone for many years. Her golden hair grew so long it reached the ground. My goodness, that's a lot of hair. When the witch wanted to visit, she would stand below the window and shout, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair." Rapunzel would lower her long golden braid, and the witch would use it as a rope to climb the tower wall. One day, a king's son rode nearby when Rapunzel was singing to her only companions, the birds. Hearing Rapunzel's beautiful voice, he drew closer to the tower. He was just in time to see the witch arrive and hear her shout, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair." Hiding behind a tree, the prince saw the golden braid cascade down from the window so that the witch could climb all the way up. As soon as the witch was gone, the prince hurried to the foot of the tower and called, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair." Rapunzel was surprised and delighted to see a young prince. She welcomed him happily. The prince returned every evening to visit, and as they talked and sang together, they fell in love. They planned to marry as soon as Rapunzel could escape from the tower. But one day, when Rapunzel was lost in her dreams, she forgot to herself and foolishly asked the witch, "Why do you climb up so much slower than my prince?" Realizing she had been tricked, the witch grew furious. She took out a great big pair of scissors and lopped off Rapunzel's long braid with one mighty snip. Then she took Rapunzel to the faraway wilderness and left her there, all alone. That evening, the witch returned to the tower. When the prince called, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair," the braid came tumbling down as usual. But when the prince reached the tower, there was the witch. "Your sweet songbird has left the nest," she screeched. "You'll never see her again." And she pushed the prince out of the tower, and he fell into a patch of briars that scratched out his eyes. Oh, dear. Blind and lonely, the prince wandered far and wide, always searching for Rapunzel. He had nearly given up hope when one day he heard a sad, soft song that he recognized from long ago. Running towards the sound, he cried out, "Rapunzel!" Rapunzel fell against him, crying tears of happiness. And what happened then was truly magical. When her tears fell into his eyes, he found he could see again. And what he saw was his one true love. Soon Rapunzel and her prince were married. Her hair once again grew long, and her joyous song filled the castle like sunshine. And that's the end of that one. We just listened to two fairy tales. From these stories have been around a long time. Now we're going to read some poems that are mostly about animals. This one is called Way Down South. So here we go. Way down south where bananas grow, and grasshopper stepped on an elephant's toe. The elephant said with tears in his eyes, "Please pick on somebody your own size." Isn't that silly? The next poem is, I asked my mother for 50 cents to see the elephant jump the fence. He jumped so high that he touched the sky, and he never came back till the 4th of July. Isn't that silly? I never saw a purple cow. I never hope to see one, but I can tell you anyhow. I'd rather see than be one. And here's another one called I Went to the Animal Fair. I went to the animal fair. The birds and the beasts were there. The big baboon by the light of the moon was combing his auburn hair. The monkey, he got drunk and sat on the elephant's trunk. The elephant sneezed and fell on his knees. And what became of the monk? Who knows? The elephant just sneezed him away. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The content of this program is so long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.